Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Besides, our opening is rather short and your mic is buzzing again for some weird reason.
Maybe because you haven't afforded to get the good mic yet.
You know what? Bite my butt, because I'm working on it.
I know. So if you couldn't tell from that overture, which is still playing, what our subject is tonight. And we're actually going to make this a two-part episode. We're going to have part one on the relatively good movies, and then part two on the really bad movies. You know, Todd's going to be pretty pissed at us. He's a monster Star Wars fan.
He's a Star Wars fan?
Huge Star Wars fan. So
why is he going to be pissed at us? I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Because I'm going to be doing a lot of bitching about Star Wars and George Lucas. He is a George Lucas apologist. He thinks George Lucas is a great filmmaker and a really good human being. I vehemently disagree with both of
those. That's because you vehemently disagree with any position that most people have.
No, most people do not have that position on George Lucas anymore.
Oh, that's right. It switched over to Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's see here. How were you first introduced to Star Wars?
Well, actually, can we back up and not talk about Star Wars since we have a sponsor now?
We have a sponsor now?
We have to do our live spot that's in our contract.
We have a contract?
Well, I signed the contract, so I have a contract.
Sweet.
And so I'm subcontracting out to you.
Yay!
Our new sponsor, AdamandEve.com. Okay, here's what you guys got to do. If you are looking for any kind of like butt toys or fuck flicks or anything like that, go to AdamandEve.com. If you use the code STATIC, then you'll get 50% off a single item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a free special gift that even I don't know what the fuck is.
In fact, if you do this with I'm actually
you said doo-doo.
Doo-doo. I'm familiar with this, and actually, if you're not familiar with Adam and Eve, go check them out. They're actually
AdamandEve.com specifically is who we have the contract with.
AdamandEve.com. They are, I believe, the premier online adult superstore. They've got
everything. If you're looking for butt toys, if you're looking for dolls,
butt plugs, male masturbators, vibrators of every shape under the sun.
If you're in a relationship, get something for your partner. If you're single, get a fleshlight and fuck it. I mean, there's something there. Just use the code STATIC and you'll get all this free stuff. You'll get the discount, the free shipping, the 3 free DVDs, and the special gift.
One caveat, within the United States.
Oh, wah.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't do the worldwide shipping free, but maybe they'll work something out. But nonetheless...
So maybe for one of them good countries,
go check them out. You'll be helping us out with every purchase that you make.
Yes, but you have to remember to use the promo code STATIC or this doesn't work.
What's the promo code?
STATIC.
That's S-T-A-T-I-C?
Yes.
Okay.
So, back to Star Wars, now that we got the plug out of the
way. Now that we're talking about butt plugs.
No, the plug, not that plug.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars.
So when were you first introduced to Star Wars?
When I was extremely little. Star Wars came, and when I say me, you got to remember Scott and I are the same age. So he was the same age when all this happened. I don't know if he had the same experiences, but...
There's like a week difference.
Yeah. So Star Wars came out when I was two and a half to be specific. And my dad, I did not see the original Star Wars in the theater. Now, and I mean, when I say in the theater, I mean in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
I'll clear that up in a little bit.
Right. Okay?
But I saw the original Star Wars when it first came to TV. Then, and I saw Empire and I saw Jedi first run in 80 and 83, respectively. Then in 83, after Jedi came out, they released what was called the Star Wars Trilogy. And they re-released all three movies to theaters in late 83, all in one day. So you'd marathon all three movies in like an 8-hour time span. And so I did see Star Wars in the theater in 1983.
Okay. So
but I did not see the first one new because I was only 2 fucking years old.
Right. There wasn't much point to it.
Right. But, I mean, I had all the action figures. I had the comic books. I had the novelizations. I had the extended universe books. I had the coloring books, the T-shirts. I was a Star Wars nut growing up.
Now, when did Jedi come out initially?
83.
83? Okay. See, I was not introduced to Star Wars quite that young.
You didn't get introduced till after Jedi?
I didn't get introduced until after Empire.
Okay, so between Empire and Jedi.
Right, and I had not seen Part 4, A New Hope, and my godmother of all people...
Well, hold on, let's back up some. You got to remember, the original release of Star Wars was not called A New Hope, and it didn't have the Part 4 on it. It was just Star Wars. The opening crawl did not have the Episode 4 in its original theatrical run. It was just a standalone movie. It was until after the fact when, in later release in 77, once the movie started to become world famous, that they added the New Hope thing.
Well, I didn't know that, and I don't care.
I'm just pointing it out for the listeners
out for the listeners that it's Episode 4 is how I'm going to... 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy.
The real trilogy.
Yes. The Holy Trilogy, as we call it.
I don't revere them that much.
I do. I didn't see them... until after Empire, and it was actually my godmother who got a hold of a bootleg VHS Part 5 of Empire. And she asked us once when we were visiting in St. Louis, she said, "Have you seen an Empire Strikes Back yet?" And we were like, a what and a who now? Because I didn't know Star Wars. I saw the commercials for the toys and stuff, and I thought the toys were cool, but I never had a movie to link them to. And so it was thanks to that bootleg VHS that she got that...
Hooray for bootlegs.
I sat down and I actually saw Empire Strikes Back before I saw the first Star Wars.
Even though you would have only been about 5 or 6, were you kind of lost having...
Yeah, I had no idea. None whatsoever. And then it was not until, I mean, I remember going and seeing Jedi in the theater.
So in 83.
And by that time I had seen the original Star Wars, the Episode 4.
Which probably would have been either a bootleg or cable, because that didn't debut on like broadcast television until 1984.
I think it was cable.
I don't think it came out on video until then either.
Yeah, I think it was cable.
Okay, because I know I saw that on HBO a few times.
But I saw that on TV. And then, you know, by that time I was caught up in the
mania
movies, and I was going nuts, and I loved it. And I had some Star Wars toys. I had the giant AT-AT.
I never had an AT-AT. That's one of the things my parents would never buy me. I think that was $99 retail.
Yep.
And that was just my parents. You got to remember, that's $1983.
Yeah, which...
So that's a lot more dollar money than... Because nowadays, we got people like Todd that'll spend $100 on a single figure.
Mm-hmm. But I had the giant AT-AT, and I had the Millennium Falcon.
I had a Falcon.
And I had an X-Wing, and I think that was about it.
I had the Death Star playset.
Really?
From New Hope, yeah.
You bastard.
I had the Death Star one. I think I still have the little rubber trash compactor monster from that.
A friend of mine had that one.
Yeah, the little green rubber monster.
That one wasn't in the Death Star one, though. That was...
Yes, it was in the Death Star.
Was it really?
Yeah, okay. And all the garbage in the Death Star was torn up pieces of foam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the Death Star playset.
Oh, okay. Well, then a friend of mine had the Death Star playset, because I remember having just a blast crushing all my figures and that thing. But I was caught up in the mania, and I remember seeing Jedi in the theater. And I remember, and I realized that Jedi is, out of the three original movies, Jedi is the one that gets the most shit.
I think only the second half of Jedi gets the most shit.
But I was young enough that I was into the Ewoks.
See, even at that age, I would have been 8 then.
Yeah.
Ewoks were still pissing me off. And then everything I find out later of George Lucas being a money-grubbing scumbag makes the Ewoks even more detestable to me.
But I was into the Ewoks, and I enjoyed that movie in the theater and whatnot. But I didn't really have the Star Wars experience until they started re-releasing with the updated films, and we'll get there.
Yeah, that's for later.
But I really came into it late, and I didn't really get into the toys until I think it was about I was 29 or no, I had to be about 27, and a friend of mine came across a new inbox Millennium Falcon playset, original Millennium Falcon playset. That'd be a
$300-$400 item.
Uh-huh. I bought it for $50. And much to the chagrin of all the collectors out there, I ripped that puppy open and played with it for days. And unfortunately...
didn't survive.
My sister is an idiot because I took very good care of it. I set it aside and everything like that. But due to when I was moving out of my grandmother's farm and moving to Evansville again and everything like that, and we were kind of cleaning out grandma's farm.
Oh, it's an old toy. Throw it.
Yeah. Joni just grabbed it and tossed it in the dumpster.
I hate people. I hate people like that.
Well, you have to understand that my sister probably lost close to a couple $100,000 worth of stuff when she went through that farm. Because there was things like old Albany glass and Dunkirk glass and old collectibles that are sought after.
I'll see, that's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show.
Because I've got a lot to bitch about with that, but we'll get sidetracked we'll save if that I do one. That.
But nonetheless, so I lost my Falcon, and I don't have any more Star Wars toys. But I do have a friend that lives in Neenah, a little way, about a half hour from here. And he's got tons of stuff in his basement.
See, I sold all of mine partially out of stupidity and partially out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Where we had like a collector show in Sturgeon Bay. This is years and years and years ago. It was back when Magic the Gathering was really big.
Okay.
So there was a bunch of people selling Magic cards there. And I saw all these Star Wars toys on this table, and I said to the collector, like, oh, I've got that one. I got that one. I got that one with the gun. You know, I got that one's in better shape than yours. He offered me a lot more than I thought they were worth.
Ah.
So I sold them all. Because all the ones that survived, to me, they were worth something for nostalgia, but he was offering me hard cash.
Yep.
So that hard cash went out. In retrospect, that was a stupid move, and I probably could have made a lot more today with those same figures. But who's thinking about 15 years later?
Yeah, you can't. I always get the, you know, the tragic stories of I had blah. And I did. In my big collection during that time, more than Star Wars, I was into Transformers.
Yeah, I was in Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Centurions, and Humanoids. Yep.
I had every single Generation 1 Transformer made.
I didn't have every single, but I had a damn good, a damn high chunk of them.
But I had all of them, and I had, even though they weren't in the boxes, because to me, toys are meant to be played with.
Right. And well, a really quick side note.
Sure.
Joe, my co-host from It Came From Beyond Midnight,
mm-hmm.
he just found out he's having a son. He's a huge Transformer collector. So now he's like, do I hide my original Transformers or do I let him play with them? And it's like, that's a good question. Do you let your kid play with them or do you keep
I have always been, I've always been of the opinion that if you're a collector, the ideal thing is to get two, maybe three. Okay, let's say it's a highly collectible figure. If you, or you think it's going to be a highly collectible figure someday, you always get two: one to keep in the box, one to play with.
Yes, and sometimes that is great for selling.
Yep.
Remember the glow in the dark Homer Simpson in the radiation suit, that Toy Fair exclusive?
Yes.
Bought two of those just for the hell of it. I mean, it was like $3 each. Mm-hmm. I sent in two coupons. I thought, what the hell? I'll have one to keep in the box, one to play with. Well, I opened mine. Then those turned out to be incredibly rare.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it for $80.
But anyway,
about a week after I got it.
Now, when you originally saw Star Wars, back then,
do you mean Star Wars: A New Hope or Star Wars: The Original Trilogy as an all encompassing?
Let's say the whole trilogy. But talking to my sister is 10 years older than us.
Okay,
and
is this the dumb sister?
This is my dumb sister. And while Star Wars wasn't really a big deal to her because she was a teenage girl and
it's not really a teenage girl
really
movie,
caught up on other things, she was dating a guy that. Have you ever seen the episode of That 70s Show?
I don't watch that crappy, shitty show.
Okay. Well, they did an episode when Star Wars came out, and they were talking about lines at the movie theater and how it was this amazing experience.
Oh, well, do you remember that? Do you remember that joke on The Simpsons about the Empire?
Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
She didn't have that experience, but the guy she was dating through high school did. And I'm still friends with him when I go to Muncie and I see him. And he's still a huge Star Wars fan. And he was one of those that was bitten and he was collected. And it was like this holy happening to him. It was a movie that really shaped who he is.
Okay.
Did it have that effect on you?
I was a big fan until I started to lose interest in Star Wars. And I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I was a huge Star Wars fan all the way up until about, see, I was still in high school, so I'm going to say around 91 or so. And then some really dumb things that George Lucas did started to piss me off. And in a weird way, it sullied my enjoyment of the old films again.
Okay.
But real quick, do you remember that joke on The Simpsons where Homer's walking out of The Empire Strikes Back and walking by the line for the next show and he goes, "Oh my God, I can't believe Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father!" And everyone gets all pissed off at him?
Yes.
My dad said that kind of shit really happened.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that, but my dad said people would be talking about the plot twist in front of people that were waiting to get in to see the movie.
Well, Dwight's the same way, yeah. And it apparently at the Delaware Cinema, a fight broke out.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get your ass beat doing that in 1980.
Oh, yeah. And, well, you know, today they've got things like, you remember when kids were waiting on the Harry Potter books and people would drive by screaming the last paragraph or so out.
Do you remember an anchor we used to work with named Diana Alviar?
I adore Diana.
Well, when the final Harry Potter book came out, she was reading it. And I knew she was really close to the beginning still. I'm not a Harry Potter fan, but I specifically went and got a copy from the library to read the last chapter so I could go and ruin it for other people.
So you're a dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, hey, guess what happens?
I still talk to Diana, actually.
She doesn't ever return my emails.
There's a reason for that.
Diana doesn't like me, apparently. If you're listening to this, Diana, why don't you like me? But
because you do stupid things like read the last chapter and ruin it for her.
Shut up.
If you're going to be a douche, Josh, people are going to treat you like a douche.
Shut up. So, back to Star Wars.
Back to Star Wars.
So, I was a huge fan. I mean, we watched the movies constantly. I had the LP soundtracks for the movies throughout high school and middle school. I was still buying the action figures. And then George Lucas, his greed won out yet again, and it's sullied. And I know this is not a unique experience for me, because I've talked to many people our age that had the same kind of Star Trek or Star Wars doesn't mean as much to me anymore because of what George Lucas has been doing, where he said the extended universe. Okay, now you got to remember, back when the original trilogy was out, there was, a lot of people don't know this, there was an NPR radio series.
Yes.
Which was really good.
Excellent. I've listened to it. It really is one of the better radio dramas I've heard.
Well, and it had original sound effects and music, and Mark Hamill and Anthony Daniels came back. The only thing that throws you off for those is hearing Han and Vader and Leia and that with what I consider the wrong voices.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the voices are wrong for those characters. But there was the NPR drama. There was a daily and Sunday comic strip that people don't seem to remember.
There was the BBC drama as well.
Right, there was that. There was also lots of extended universe books.
Yep.
You know, like Han Solo at Earth's End and, you know, the origin of Vader and stuff. Now, what you got to remember about all this stuff, and I'm sorry to go into such detail, but it'll explain why I'm so pissed later on, okay? Is these things were all canon at the time.
Right.
And you got to remember that George Lucas can never make up his mind. The newspaper strips were canon. These came out right after Empire, so there was no Jedi yet. So Han's still frozen in carbonite and whatnot. They're all canon. Then all of a sudden they come out with Jedi. Yeah, that last 2 years of newspaper strips you've been reading, those are not in continuity anymore. Now the movie's in continuity. The comic books you've been reading, even though I specifically said those were continuity, now they're not continuity anymore. The droids cartoon, I have a quote from him. This is what happens right before episode 4. Then he makes, episode 3, and then he says, yeah, the droids cartoon, that's not continuity.
Right.
He just constantly, this is continuity. It's canon. This is officially what happens. Okay, nope. I've changed my mind. Now that's not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That just alienates and angers your audience that was loyal to you up to that point.
Oh, yeah.
The extended universe, okay, look, if it's continuity, it stays in continuity. And then another thing was oversaturation. And I don't mean of Star Wars in general. I mean of characters like Boba Fett. Boba Fett worked really well in Empire and Jedi as this mysterious hunter figure with a past you don't know. Well, he turned out to be really popular. So he appears in the Star Wars comic book and the newspaper strips, and he gets his own comic book and his own miniseries, and he gets a dozen different action figures, and there's no mystery left. The character is completely uninteresting, and they go and backdate his continuity to make him an integral part of the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was there. He fought Han before Empire. He fought Chewie before he ever met Han. He fought Luke between Empire and Jedi and all this, and you go, no. You can't retroactively go back and say, this character was a key character in the entire trilogy.
Retcon.
When he had three lines of dialogue in the goddamn movie.
Now, if I remember my lingo correctly, that's retcon, right?
Yes, and Lucas had to realize that doesn't work. All it does is oversaturates what was an interesting character and destroys what you had.
See, now, for as long as I can remember, I've been a completionist. Meaning I get a video game like the Lego Pirates game where you go through the main storyline of all four movies and you're only 40-some percent done with the game.
Yeah, there's all these side quests
yes.
you didn't do and shit.
I must have 100% on that game.
I do the same thing. What?
And I'm like that with collections, too, where I think this is one of the reasons why my parents never really got me into Star Wars is because
there was so much shit to buy.
There was every character. Every character came out, sometimes in two or three iterations. Do you remember the vinyl cape Jawa?
Yes, which is worth a shit ton
which
of money.
Which is worth a shit ton. I had one.
You know, or Yak
yeah,
Face.
And they're gone. Or Yak Face or some of the others. But I mean, just characters that you would see in the movie on screen for 2 seconds. Characters that you never see that are mentioned in
see,
the extended
that's
universe.
That's one of the reasons I hate George Lucas. Because you got to remember, I'm not going to say George Lucas never tried to be a filmmaker, because when you look at THX-1138 and American Graffiti, you can see he was trying to make a good film.
And they're not bad
movies. No, they're not. But I mean, I'm saying there's a difference between that and when you see Star Wars. You got to remember, Star Wars, before he shot a frame, he had merchandising deals set up. Those characters were put in the movie specifically to go, here's one more action figure we get to sell.
Toyeticism.
Yes. He made those movies, even back before he knew what a global phenomenon A New Hope would be. He made those not to make a good movie. He made those to make a ton of money in merchandise.
But to be fair, I have heard, and this is coming from an interview on the new trilogy, if I remember. On one of the DVD extras. One of the reasons why he set up those merchandising things is because he lost out with Jaws.
He didn't have anything to do with Jaws.
I know. Spielberg lost out with Jaws.
Yeah.
And a few others. And from what I understand, the reason Lucas set up those merchandising deals is because he saw Spielberg lose out with Jaws and with the you know, the huge hit that was.
But you got to realize, and maybe I'm splitting hairs here, when you're making a movie specifically to merchandise it, quality doesn't matter. It's Lucas said, it doesn't matter whether the movie's good or not. I'm going to make billions off this. That means you are not a filmmaker. I get irritated when I hear people call George Lucas a filmmaker. He hasn't made a film since 1973. All he has is made giant two-hour commercials. And when I'm talking about he, I specifically mean movies he made. Because a lot of people, I mean, I know you know this, a lot of people don't realize Lucas didn't direct Empire and Jedi. You wouldn't believe how many people think he directed all six movies.
No, he didn't.
He didn't even write Empire, which is probably why it's the best of the movies. No, because he was off trying. He was off working on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And so he basically let Irwin Kershner do whatever he wanted. So he admitted he was barely on set for any of that stuff. And that turns out to be the best film of them all. I wonder if that says something about Lucas and his influence, that maybe he is the reason some of this stuff sucked. And then, since I'm on this tangent, let's get to the Ewoks, with like I brought up before. Do you know the Ewoks were originally supposed to be Wookiees?
Yes.
But then they figured, we can sell more toys if they're baby Wookiees. We can sell more plush toys and we'll grab a younger audience. So they were changed to the fucking Ewoks specifically for merchandising, which again throws filmmaking out the window.
Also, was it CBS that carried the Ewoks cartoon?
ABC.
ABC, okay.
Because ABC had the Droids and Ewok Adventure
Hour.
Right.
That's right. It was under advisement from an ABC executive that he do that, because they were already thinking. They knew that the Droids cartoon worked out really, really well.
So the Droids cartoon was a disaster. I mean, I don't mean creatively. I thought it was a good cartoon. It was a disaster. Nobody wanted to watch those two. I mean, out of all the characters from, I can't remember if Jedi had come out at that point or not, but out of all the Star Wars characters, who do you want to see the most? The gay robot and the robot that doesn't talk? Yeah. No. Those are probably the two least interesting characters to have given a spinoff to.
But Droids was there, and they were already talking about the Ewoks cartoon and stuff like that, and because it was actually in development at the same time as Jedi.
Well, also remember the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Right, but now George Lucas hates it. But back then, they basically drove a dump truck full of money up to his house, and he said, okay, do whatever you want. You guys do whatever you want with this. And again, it was just, it's all about money with Lucas. It's all about, how do I make money off this? I don't care if it's any good. They paid me a ton of money to do it.
And to be fair,
to me, that's what's wrong with Lucas. He is not a fucking filmmaker.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, a dump truck full of money can persuade me to do a lot of stupid things.
Not if you have integrity, which I don't think Lucas does.
Not sure if I do, because if there's enough, okay, maybe two dump trucks of money. I mean, really, seriously, yeah, you can be persuasive.
All right,
with cash, with me.
But then George Lucas, he just kept lying. I mean, he lied right to every single audience member's face to get them in the theaters for that goddamn 1996 re-release of Star Wars.
Okay, what was the lie?
He was on TV. It was a video interview, and he said, these are a special one-time release. These special editions will never be released on video. If you don't see them in the theaters now, you're going to kick yourself later.
As soon as
Jedi came out, they announced the videos.
Yeah.
And I said, you lying sack of shit. Anything to get my fucking ticket price, aren't you?
And what's really unfortunate is that...
I'll let you finish, but nobody called him on this. Why did no one call him on his fucking lies?
I'm sure there's got to be a board somewhere that somebody made the call.
I mean, fans. Why did the fans not rebel against him? You know what the fans did? Well, now I got to buy the video, too.
Yep.
It's like the fans don't mind being lied to by this man.
No, there are a lot of fans out there that are upset. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. And people that I've talked to, the one that really upsets me is that I cannot get a hold of the trilogy that I remember.
I have it on Laserdisc, widescreen.
I'm sure you do. I don't have a Laserdisc player.
I have three.
But when he did the re-releases and he said, these are special editions. There's something really cool about them. These are the movies that I wanted to make but didn't have the ability at the time.
Which is I'll call bullshit on that right now because history's bore that out.
Okay. What makes me angry is that now that they're out, if I want to go out and buy the DVDs or the Blu-rays, as I tend to do, I can't find the trilogy that I remember.
Because he doesn't want you to see that. Even going so far, he says the ones we grew up on are unfinished films.
Right.
Which, of course, he signed off on and was willing to make a ton of profit off of that whole time.
Right.
But look at what he did to the American Film Registry. You heard about that debacle, right?
No.
Star Wars, the first Star Wars, was deemed culturally important, and so it was put into the National Film Registry. They only do that to so many films a year.
Right.
Well, he sent them a copy of the 1996 special edition. They sent it back, saying this is not the film that grabbed America and is culturally significant. He said, the film you want is basically a work print. I don't want that put into this film registry. And they said, right. Look, if you want anything put in, we will not accept the special edition. And so he basically said, well, then screw you. I basically renounce any of the versions released before 1996. I renounce those never happened.
That pissed a lot of people off.
And it also shows his fucking arrogance.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he'd go back and doctor it again by putting Hayden Christensen in place of Anakin. And then you heard about the new one. This was just released 2 days ago as we record this.
No.
He's going back to Empire, Jedi, and Phantom Menace and replacing every shot of Yoda with CG Yoda.
That's a shame.
Because he wants Yoda to have the same style of movement and look in all the films Yoda's in. So again, he's doing this again, and he will re-release them again. And you know what? You fucking Star Wars fanboys will buy it yet again. You know, I have not bought a Star Wars movie. I'm saying new. I mean, I bought the Laserdiscs only a couple of years ago. So I'm saying a new version of a Star Wars movie since 1993. And I won't.
I have the original trilogy that I do remember on VHS.
Yes, I've got that VHS. That's the one from 93, that VHS box set.
Unfortunately, that box set, the VHSs are being worn out.
So, I've got doubles of all those. I don't have the box it came in, but I can give you extra copies of the three films.
Okay. But, that's the one that makes me angry is he really... And it seems like some of the stuff that he added in the re-release... films.
We're talking the 1996 re-release.
The 96 re-release was unnecessary and slapsticky and cute for the sake of cute.
Are you thinking of the same thing I am? Max Rebo's Singer? Well, in Jedi?
Oh, God. That was
cartoon.
That's atrocious upon itself. But the other thing... the thing that I'm thinking about is like the stormtroopers on Dubacks in Mos Eisley.
Or the little robot stepping in poop?
The little robot stepping in poop, and the one where the little robot is buzzing around and annoying him, and the other robot comes and hits him on the head, and
yeah.
There's a ee and all the cute stuff. Or the little stupid frog outside of Jabba's palace. Yep.
Well, and then, of course, it's got the tag on that, too.
Yes.
Because, burps are funny, right?
Yes. And that took a piece of film that I do see as art. I see the original trilogy as culturally significant because the story, nothing new there. These are huge archetypes that have been around since time immemorial. But technologically, using the miniatures and stuff like that, he made this beautiful little story. Again, not original, but a beautiful little story nonetheless with what he had. And that says something about 1977, 1980, and 83 respectively.
But he also had a certain condescension to that first film towards his audience. I've got an interview with him from 77. This is right as the film was being released.
Okay.
There was an industry-only magazine amongst the science fiction, the writers for TV and stuff, called Thrust. So it was an industry-only magazine. I bought these off eBay years ago. And you got to remember, industry insiders, the people who worked in TV, wrote science fiction, they hated these films. Every review of Star Wars was negative, which I find ironic in retrospect. But Lucas had the condescension. One of the science advisors he had on there, one of the physics advisors he had on the movie, pointed out to him the sound and fire in space. Mm-hmm. And he said, the audience expects sound, so I'm going to give it to them. That's just condescending to a degree that angers me like I can't verbalize how condescending that is. Well, they expect sound, so I'm going to give them sound. They expect an explosion. I'm not going to not give them the explosion they want. doesn't that piss you off a little at the condescension he has for you as a viewer?
No.
It does me.
Not me, because looking at this, you know, looking at this from the perspective, it made it cool.
I don't think it did.
The explosion was cool. The sound was cool. Now, if I saw it now, yeah, it wouldn't quite work. But the audience of the 70s and 80s, yeah, I can see why he bends to that. Now, if you want to see a good example of space combat as it would really not sound or not look, by not look, I mean not explode. Yes. Take a look at Firefly.
Implode, more likely.
Exactly. Take a look at Firefly or Babylon 5.
Babylon 5 still had sound.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've seen it. Anyway, take a look at Firefly and a lot of the external shots in what little space combat there is. There is no sound.
Well, and you also got to realize... also
implode.
You also got to realize that Lucas had that condescension of treating like the TIE fighter battles with the X-Wings... Everything was on a single plane. It was on the X plane. Guys, you're in space. Why are these battles not going up and down and around and left and right? Why are you fighting like you're in an atmosphere?
But again...
Because it just... But anyone who's familiar with science, that you just kind of go, God, my fucking brain hurts watching
you also,
this.
I mean, but you also have to think back to the audience of the 70s and 80s. People weren't as educated as they are now. And I'm not saying that there weren't smart people, because there were plenty, and there was probably plenty who watched the movie and agreed with you, going, what the fuck is this? This is World War II. This is, you know, this is how World War II fighters would fight.
This is not how you fight in space.
Mm-hmm. And the perfect example of that, sorry about the phone, the perfect example of that is, I think, when Han Solo goes... Don't worry, I know some maneuvers. And then he just kind of lists lazily to the left.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do... Well, and then you've got the other condescension that Lucas probably didn't even research this, that, you know, he made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Yeah, well...
Parsec is not a measurement of time. It's a measurement of distance. That would be like saying he made the Kessel Run in less than 12 miles.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But... Okay,
but again, you're talking about a less educated audience overall.
Let's put it this way: when I was 5, I had no problem with that. When I was 15, after I took science, I had a problem with that.
I know.
You know, let's talk about the extended universe a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, some of the extended universe stuff was good.
Now, I didn't get into the extended universe stuff, just to tell you.
Okay, the one I recommend to you. And I've got the first two books. What I don't know. I think my third book got destroyed, so you'd have to get it from the library or something. But, okay. And I'm recommending this to the audience: the Heir to the Empire trilogy. Again, at the time,
it was canon.
This was canon. Lucas said, "This is since I at that time he planned on not making any films that take place after Jedi. This is the post Jedi trilogy. It's Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command by Timothy Zahn."
Okay.
They are phenomenal books. I think it falls apart a little bit in the last couple of chapters, like he didn't quite know how to end it, but it's a beautiful buildup. Amazing new characters. They retcon a couple of characters that don't piss, it doesn't piss you off. It actually makes more sense that these characters were behind the scenes manipulating events. It kind of fills in some plot holes from the movies even. Timothy Zahn did an amazing job with these three books. And I highly recommend the Heir to the Empire trilogy. They are just amazing books through and through. And there is a few plot twists in there that actually had me genuinely going, huh, I actually didn't see that coming. That was interesting.
The one bit of the extended universe that I did get into that I remember Lucas saying specifically was continuity.
And probably isn't now.
And is not now. Is the games.
The games, you mean?
The computer games.
Okay, because I was going to say there's lots of games.
Yeah, I know. There's the board games and the role-playing
games. No, I meant even for role, you know, there's the Super Nintendo games and whatnot. He even said the RPG stuff is extended canon, and then no, it's not.
But the ones that I'm talking about are the ones that LucasArts released, or at the time, Lucasfilm Games.
You're right.
Which is...
like Rogue Squadron and shit like that.
Rogue Squadron was one. It's not the best example.
Shadows of the Empire.
He never claimed that was Tunic. The one that I'm thinking specifically is Dark Forces.
Okay.
Dark Forces, Dark Forces 2, and Dark Force, and I realize it wasn't Dark Forces 3, but Jedi, whatever the hell it was.
Well, if you're a fan of the original trilogy at all, and I don't know if you've played this, I'm kind of saying this to you and the audience at the same time, is the Force Unleashed games.
The Force Unleashed are good.
They're sort of an... I'm going to ruin the ending a little bit because I can't talk about the games without kind of ruining the ending.
Mm-hmm.
They all take place prior to Episode 4, okay? Because your final mission is on the newly functional Death Star.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Depending on what ending you get, puts the game, so the second game, into extended universe or not. Because you fight Darth Vader at the end,
mm-hmm.
and when you can either kill him and take his spot as the Emperor's second,
mm-hmm.
or you just kill him and go back and head the Empire, or the Rebellion. So depending on which ending you take, depends on basically the route your character is going to take in the second game, which is interesting.
But the games that I'm thinking about are Dark Forces and Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Okay.
And Knights of the Old Republic, which...
Knights.
They take place long before... Well, Dark Forces, your first mission in Dark Forces is to retrieve the Death Star plans to give to Leia that she mentions in episode
Which is also a... Because remember that NPR drama we talked about?
Yep.
That actually dramatizes her getting the plans, and that's not the same way that the game shows her how she got the plan. Right. And again, remind, that was continuity, and then it wasn't.
Yep. Kyle Katarn. Continuity? Not continuity. But nonetheless, I mean, they were still fun games, and then you had games like X-Wing and TIE Fighter, and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, all of the flight sim, space flight sim games that LucasArts put out that... probably some of, you know, they're right up there with the Wing Commander as being excellent shoot 'em up space flight.
See, my problem with all those is something we've talked about before. I can't stand polygon graphics. Those all came out in that polygon era that I think
I
think the graphics look so bad I can't play those games.
Actually, the X-Wing games and the TIE Fighter games, they use sprites. They don't use polygons.
Because like I saw some of the ones like for the 32X and that.
Yeah, those,
and it's
those
like,
were
God, they're ugly. Those, I mean, yeah. It's just ugly, ugly games.
Those were the polygony ones. But actually, while we're talking about Star Wars games, one of my best memories is of the original Vector Graphics arcade cabinet.
Yes, I actually have that on my PS2.
Yeah, I've got it on the PC on an emulator. But
there was like a... What was that one where you could go back and like relive the battle on Endor and on Hoth and stuff like that? It was one of the games that came out and you could replay all these battles. I have a preview disc or promo disc of that. The old Vector Graphics game is one of the extras on that disc.
Oh, neat.
So I can just pop that in my PS2 and play that game.
Fun.
It's weird with a controller. You know, there are some games that don't feel right without a joystick. They really don't, you know?
I agree.
They don't feel right playing with a controller.
I agree.
But so the original trilogy, like I said, I liked it until he started pissing all over it, and it really did water down my enjoyment of it. I remember being in high school, and I mean, we'd go and pop those movies in, and we'd have, you know, an overnight marathon of my friends and
mm-hmm.
I. And now, even if they're on TV, I just kind of
One of the last times that I really, really enjoyed the original trilogy is the 96 re-release.
96 re-release.
Yeah, 96 re-releases came out while I was in college.
Okay.
And about 2 months prior to the first re-release coming out, we did an all-night marathon of the original trilogy from a projector in a movie theater on the college campus for free.
Okay.
And that was the last time that I really, really enjoyed Star Wars.
Well, and then something we've been avoiding in this whole one is Star Wars fans. Some of you people need to get a life.
Fans. Period. There are fanboys for every fan.
I know. But I seem to see Star Trek and Star Wars fanboys seem to be some of the most ardent nutballs out there. I mean, you know, this like the Star Wars themed weddings, and you know, you give your vows in, you know, Old Republic speak and stuff. It's like, you people are fucking insane.
Nah, I say if it makes them happy, do it.
I say you're fucking insane.
I say if it makes you happy,
you know,
do
you
it.
People are Lucas fanboys.
Because to tell you the truth, I see a lot of those, like the especially like the weddings that you brought up. They take a lot of work, and I gotta hand it to them.
Good a normal job. Wedding takes a lot of work.
Yes, it does. These take a whole lot more.
But I'm just saying, some of these fans are insane, and they're almost as bad as Twilight fans when it comes to their defense of the film that they love. I mean, I haven't heard of a Star Wars fan actually throwing battery acid in someone's face for not liking Star Wars. That happened with a Twilight fan. Yeah. Somebody was bad-mouthing Twilight, and a big Twilight fan threw battery acid in someone's face. I haven't quite heard of a Star Wars fan doing that, but some of these people I'd be afraid were getting near that point.
And I say that that comes with geekdom. That comes with nerddom, passion for...
I have passion. Look at how angry I get when I talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I'd never go and punch you over it.
Yeah, you've been tempted to punch me over a few things.
I actually thought that would be a challenge accepted from you. I actually thought you'd be like, you know what? Let's see how far we can push this.
How do you know it's not?
Because you didn't verbalize it?
Nope. Nonetheless, the movies did something culturally, and when I was young, they hit me. Well, and I still have great nostalgic and wonderful memories associated with those films. I understand that Lucas is pissing all over them. Yes, he pisses me off. But I can't. I'm too much of a capitalist. I can't fault a guy for making a buck.
I can if it's at the expense of art. But you and I, you know, I mean, our listeners will know.
We've had that debate.
Yeah, we've had that debate. But we also need to point out that the younger people coming up today, for instance, my son, who's 18, they don't know what a huge impact this movie had, the first film. How much, I mean, Jaws started this.
Right.
And Star Wars cemented it. They changed the way movies were made. Yes. There's very few films you can say that literally movies were made differently after this. And Star Wars was one of those. No matter whether you are an ardent hater of the films, you cannot deny the massive, ridiculous, emotional or monumental cultural impact that these films had.
I agree.
And people just don't... Like, I've tried to explain to my son when he watched The Exorcist that people would get scared and run out of the theater and that there were lines around the block for that.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't imagine, you know, because he's never lived in an era where, you know, your town had one screen. You know, people don't realize that that's the way movies used to be. You'd wait in line 4 or 5 hours just to get a seat.
Oh, yeah.
My mom said Planet of the Apes was like that. That she had to wait like 2 hours to get in to see Planet of the Apes in 69. And we've got to remember, I was -6 at that point, so I don't have any idea, but...
Yeah, I know.
You know, I believe the story. I remember when we went, my mom took me to go see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh,
we had to wait almost 40 minutes just standing in line to get into that fucking thing.
I remember that quite well.
You know, and that's something else. I mean, just people just don't realize the cultural impact that Star Wars had. Because nowadays, Star Wars is a joke. And we'll get into this in a little bit in the next episode, they only grew up with the bad movies or the good movies with all the CGI enhancements.
Right.
And they did not grow up watching the good versions of these movies.
And that I think they're losing out on, because this new generation is, you're missing when the movies took themselves seriously for a few minutes.
They had not turned into a punchline.
Right.
And, I mean, like a perfect example would be my son bought what he thought was the original trilogy at Goodwill on VHS for $1 apiece.
Right.
And he got him home and popped him in and saw the Death Star explode with that huge ring. And he went, shit. And he realized it was the special editions.
Right.
And so he's like, I don't want these. Just throw them out. I mean, he just outright, I don't want these. I thought they were the real movies.
I remember going
to... That's the word he used, the real movies.
Yeah. And I remember going to the re-releases with my friends, and my friends laughed in the middle of the film and laughed at all of the slapsticky CGI crap.
That's something we'll get into in the next.
But that was something that we looked at and we were disappointed. We were like, wait a minute. When did this turn from a Western in space, a space opera, into
vaudeville?
Yeah.
It did that when Lucas got the idea to do episode one. He outright said these movies should be for kids. And he basically pulled a Spielberg, like what Spielberg did with E.T. I want to make these movies fun for kids. Like you know what Spielberg did to E.T., right?
No, go on.
Spielberg decided when they did the, I think, 1997 re-release. I might be wrong on the year for E.T. Okay. But that, remember at the end, right before they go in front of the moon and the bike takes off?
Right.
And there's all the FBI agents with shotguns.
Oh, and he replaced them with radios.
Right, because he said guns have no place in a kid's movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that. Lucas, or Spielberg, I want to kick you in the fucking testicles.
I have a DVD that still has the guns.
I have a VHS, and I have a Laserdisc that still has the guns.
So
yes, you started to say something.
I'm formulating a thought here, but I guess when... And I think that's when the switch was made, when he went, okay, this should be a great blockbuster film for everybody, and just said, okay, this is for kids. Was that the switch? Was that...
Yes, when, okay. because you'll notice, and like I said, we'll get into this more next week, that episode one is a kid's film through and through. It is slapstick. You've got them, you know, you've got Jar Jar Binks, you've got people stepping in poop, you've got people burping, you've got slapstick Three Stooges routines. That is a kid's movie.
A kid's?
There's no way that was made for the adult Star Wars fan.
I agree.
And unfortunately, those were the people going to it. The 10-year-olds were not going to see that movie.
No.
But that's who that movie was made for.
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll get into that. Well, so
yeah, it was the kids' slapstick and burping and farting jokes mixed in with galactic politics, always.
Really dumb galactic. We need to point out, Red Letter Media,
yeah,
the people that run Red Letter Media, have dissected these films to such a degree, and this is not an insult to them at all, I'm highly complimenting them, to such a degree that there is zero chance of you ever looking at these movies the same way again. After they just dissect these things almost on a frame by frame basis.
Well, we'll get into that later. But in the meantime, again, we're not denying the cultural impact.
Right. To me, just those movies do not mean even a tenth of what they meant to me when I was in high school.
I agree.
You know, that just... They
so that's what I'd like to hear from our fans, actually, is I'd like to hear their Star Wars experience and how do they feel. Did the re-releases add something or did they ruin them?
In your responses, please give us your age so we know ballpark when you first saw, say, the original unedited trilogy.
And I'd love to hear from some of our older fans, too, that were maybe that teenage... early 20s.
People that were a little older than us.
That were there during the first 77 release and kind of realize... Because there were people that realized that the world changed
in that day.
2 hours. Yeah.
There were people that... Harlan Ellison told a story about somebody that refused to sleep. A friend of his that wouldn't sleep. He actually was... His marriage was being destroyed because he saw Star Wars every single day. Three times a day, every single day. He'd get home from work. He'd go to see Star Wars. He'd see it again and he'd see it again. And then he'd come home. And then he'd have to start getting ready for work. And that literally his life was being destroyed because he would not stop going to see Star Wars.
But nonetheless,
that did happen.
Oh, I know. We're running out of time, but thank you all very much for joining us for this hour.
Check out adamandeve.com and remember our promo code static.
Yep. You'll really be helping us out right now if you do that.
Plus, and you'll get some nice, you know, butt toys.
Well, toys or negligees or movies or whatever you happen to... Whatever you happen to order, and it's a reliable company. I've done business.
Yes,
with them.
No, I trust Adam and Eve. Absolutely, yeah,
definitely. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them on the show.
Exactly.
So, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you next week with the prequels and those piles of shit.
Night.
Bye, everybody.